Jesus, tonight I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. A small section of a larger section where Jesus is confronting the Pharisees. Remember, the passages of Scripture that say, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," okay? Excuse me, that's the section that we are in, and we're going to be, I don't know how long we'll look at that, maybe just this woe, but we're certainly looking at this passage of Scripture. Some parallels that we're not going to even go there, but a parallel to this would be Matthew chapter 23, and then also just a couple verses in Mark chapter 12, okay, Mark chapter 12, just a few verses there, but the main passages of this are the one we're in, Luke 11, 37 to 41, and then Matthew chapter 23, but we are going to look at Luke's rendition of this, so Luke chapter 11. I want you to think about all of the things that have been suggested to us during this virus. There's a lot of suggestions that have been made concerning sanitation, keeping clean, washing your hands, covering your mouth, covering your face, suggestions on proximity with other people, suggestions about cleaning, suggestions about a lot of things concerning this. And it's amazing how many people have jumped to it and really done their best to stay sanitized. And I'm not really making a point of that, whether it was, you know, whether it was safe or not. That's not the point. But isn't it amazing how much we have really done to try to do that? And there's been places where have made rules and mandates that you can't come in unless you wear this, unless you do this. And there have been people that have been very careful to keep clean and to be sanitized. Well, it's interesting that our country and our world has done so much for that and made many, many guidelines of how we should be safe. And yet, I wonder if we cared half as much as our world has concerning this virus, if we concerned half as much about our spiritual insides, I wonder what would happen. Think through that just for a moment. How many rules and suggestions have been made concerning keeping clean? And yet, do we keep that in our hearts? It wasn't just the COVID-19 that started ideas of sanitation. It's been since the beginning of time. And by the way, may I say this, I'm not making light of it, because God in His Word had rules of sanitation and making sure you keep clean and eat physically. And so there's nothing made light of it. I'm just saying it's just amazing with all that's been going on physically that way, how little we care about the spiritual cleaning that God's Word does speak about. So you're in Luke chapter 11, and we are in verse 37. As far as the geographic location, Jesus is spending a lot of time right now in the area of Jerusalem. And of course, He went over in the Jericho area and crossed and in the sea. Baptism, in fact, I have, if you're following everything, we don't do everything. We skipped over some things, but where John baptized, and there was some confrontation there with some people. We're not hitting everything. We're just hitting some highlights of some things that we can learn. And we can learn from every passage of Scripture, but however God leads is where I'm going. So we're here, and so in the area of Jerusalem. And He spake, and as He spake, a certain Pharisee besought Him to dine with him. That's interesting. A Pharisee wanted to eat with Jesus. And He went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Now, can I stop and say this passage is not for or against clean hands? It is not. This point, Jesus is not making light of washing your physical hands. And so don't walk away tonight and say, well, Jesus didn't wash his hands before he ate, so I don't either. It has nothing to do with whether, you know, kids, it doesn't, you know, you're not, you don't go home and say, Mom, Jesus didn't wash his hands when he sat down to eat. I don't either. That is not the point that Jesus is making. Okay? And there's not a big point that you have to do that. Jesus is saying, what? You're caring so much more about the washed hands than you are about the washed inside. That is really the main point that Jesus is making. Now, the Pharisees, what about their side? Now, we just have one Pharisee, but is this the only Pharisee in history that was concerned about washed hands? No, okay? This was their tradition that they washed their hands before they ate. And I'm telling you, that's not necessarily a bad idea, okay? But I'll leave that to the health people, not for me this evening. The Pharisees were not so much concerned about health and hygiene. In fact, that is really not what the Pharisees had in mind here. Jesus, you know what? You eat, you might get sick. That is not at all what this Pharisee was concerned about. What was this Pharisee concerned about? Anybody know? It was tradition. Okay? Now let's look at that. Let's look at some background. Why don't you keep your finger or a marker here in Luke 11? Let's go back to Leviticus. Let's go back to the law of Moses, and let's look at some things here in Leviticus. Let's look at chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. Now, here is the part of the law which did say something, but let's take note of what was said and also what was not said, okay? Leviticus chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. The soul which hath touched any such, which is talking about unclean things, shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. All right? Now, interesting here that this was part of the law. You say, well, Pastor, you know, doesn't it say here that he needs to wash his hands? But what? This is speaking of what? It's when he touched something that he wasn't supposed to. There was an unclean thing that he touched, and that person would be declared unclean. And so, therefore, before he eat, he need to wash his hands. But interesting, this was rules given to the priest. This wasn't just given to the general public. This was a priest thing, and it was when he touched an unclean thing so that he would not be unclean. You say, Pastor, doesn't that have to do with a little hygiene? Well, we can take some things from it and bring the hygiene into it. But so just in case, and let me get that just mark it down, and we're going to look at some other passages here. This was a just in case type of a mentality that the tradition of the Jews, it was based off of this, but it superseded the scriptures of what they said, and these Pharisees had came up with a tradition of not when they had for sure touched an unclean thing, but they kind of had this mentality of what if we did and we didn't know it. By the way, that mentality can really be dangerous for you if you just do a lot of things just in case. Well, I don't know if I did, but just in case. Now let me stop and pause there. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Just in case can be if. Well, what if? You know what? If you get caught up in your life just asking questions like, well, just in case, have you ever prayed and asked forgiveness for something just in case you had sinned? Some of you have. Because you're scared of that thing. Brothers and sisters, you know, that's not... The Bible says when you know you've sinned and God's put it upon your heart and you've been convicted of sin, that's when you get things right. But this is not an idea of, you know what, just in case I've sinned, I'm going to kneel down before my bed tonight and say a prayer just so I can be safe. You know what? We get into a lot of wrong theology when we start thinking that way. Okay? Well, the tradition of these elders, which we're going to look at that phrase here in just a moment, was this, what if I happen to accidentally, unknowingly touch something unclean that I did? I'm going to be unclean. And what if? Well, now I'm going to make sure and wash all the time because I want to make sure that I'm clean. And what happens is they take something that man has brought up and made it law, which was never, ever law. So just in case they'd touch any profane thing or a defiled person, they made sure to wash their hands just in case. Now with that, go to Mark chapter 7. Go to Mark chapter 7. We're done in Leviticus. Go to Mark chapter 7 and let's look at the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3. Here's another case in which some Pharisees came to Jesus about a similar thing. Mark chapter 7, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples, that would be Jesus' disciples, eat bread with defiled, okay, that would be with defiled people, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. Okay, so these people, they were in their minds defiled. They had not made sure they were clean. They didn't have clean hands. They found fault with them. Verse 3, for the Pharisees, this is describing the situation of why they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now there the word of God tells us what this idea of washed hands before eating was. It was never something that was commanded to God's people to make sure that they went to eat, wash their hands. No, this was what they called the tradition of the elders. Well, it was the tradition of the elders. What is that tradition? I want you to look at one other passage. Again, go to Matthew chapter 15. I know I'm having you turn to a number of passages, but I hope this helps you to see some things and some background of where we're at with this Pharisee. Okay, so the tradition of the elders. They required that before they ate, and they wouldn't eat unless their hands were washed. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 2. These are questions to Jesus. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? This wasn't a question of whether they transgressed the law. Why do you transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now this tradition of the elders, we've seen it listed a couple times here. This was extra-biblical law. What does that mean? It means law that was made up in their minds that was not in the Bible, if we could say. Later, and by the way, this extra-biblical law was all oral until the 2nd century, when then it was recorded in the Mishnah. Nothing in the Mosaic law spoke of this washing hands except in Leviticus 22, verses 6 and 7, when the priests were expected to wash their hands when they had very clearly touched something that was defiled and unclean. And so before they ate, they were supposed to do that. The tradition tells us that what they were supposed to do was they were supposed to wash a couple different ways. First of all, they were supposed to start with their hands up this way, fingers spread apart, and water was then sprinkled on their fingers. It would hit their fingers, and it would flow, and it had to be that they went all the way down to the wrists at least. And only then would be declared whether they had done the first step of washing. Okay? So interesting. Think about that. You have these people, they were going and they would pull out their hands and they would separate their fingers. They would have water poured onto their fingers and they were very careful to wash and make sure that it gets to their wrists. Now let me ask you a question. Is that in anywhere in the scriptures? No, it's not, but it was a good idea that they had. Now, by the way, there's nothing that says that we can't do anything if it's not in the scriptures. It's when we make that Bible. Did you hear that? We can have certain things that we do to comply to God's law, what we think is right. As long as we don't make the traditions of man God's law and doctrine. That's the key. Okay, so the first step, hands up, fingers spread apart, water poured onto them, make sure that it gets to the wrist, needs to touch the wrist. Once that was done, then came the second part. Well, when you have your hands up this way, it might not get everything. Now they turned it and put it downward this way. And water, just in the same reverse order, was poured over the wrist this way and down and had to go through the fingertips. And only then was this person considered clean. Well, not yet. No, that was the third. There's a third step to this. So first, hands up, fingers spread apart, water all over, comes down, went to the wrist, and then they flipped it over, water poured, making sure that it pours down to the tips of the fingers, and then at that time, taking the opposite hand, and only with their fist, fingers in, with their fist, then they were supposed to go all around and to try to clean. Now, that doesn't work really well with me. I never tried to wash my hands that way, but that was the tradition of the elders to make sure that their hands were clean just in case they had done something wrong. All right, now you look at it and say, Pastor, that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. Are there things of hygiene that we do that are not put into the scriptures that we do? Well, certainly. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures that I'm told to brush my teeth twice a day, you know, with a certain kind of thing and floss. Okay, but I do that. But that doesn't mean that if it's not in the scriptures, I shouldn't do it. But it would be wrong if I got up here and I preached a message on how you should floss and brush your teeth, okay? And if you didn't, then I would look at you and say, I don't understand why you even come to the same church as that person over there. They did not floss this morning. Now, you laugh at that, but that is what this Pharisee is coming to Jesus about. Jesus, he's coming to Jesus. Jesus, I don't understand you. I did not see you put your fingers like this. I did not see you put your hand like that. I did not see you rub with your fist. And then vice versa on the other hand. I did not see you do that. You think Jesus has a problem with that? Are these, and I'm not making, again, maybe I have, and I apologize for it, I'm not making light of these Jews doing that, but what I'm saying is, folks, I'm not really, shouldn't be making light of it, I'm saying this is wrong. It's wrong when we do this and look at somebody else and say, you are not doing right in how you are cleaning yourself. You're wrong in not being clean the way I decide to be clean. And Jesus here is finding a problem. He says, and he's not, Jesus does not attack this. He does, but he's not so much talking that's a waste of time and that's bad. Jesus is looking at the meticulous ways in which they're going to the extent to make sure about this thing that they don't even know about, yet they're not so meticulous on the inside. That is the point. Please understand what is being given here by Jesus. He's not saying, you are stupid for doing that. He's saying, you know what? You care a lot about these outward things. Can you imagine, Pharisee, if you would do that with what is in here? That's what Jesus is saying. Now this tradition, back to the tradition of the elders, this tradition overrode the scriptures as the highest religious authority over the Bible. Is that dangerous? Oh, I need to hear you say it. Do you understand that that is dangerous? It is. That is so dangerous, and we as Christians can get in deep trouble if we start to do that. Any time that we take our own thoughts that are not in the scripture and make them strong doctrine, we're acting as the Pharisees. Now I want you to turn to another verse. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Same passage, Matthew 15, we were in verse 2. He's still going on this topic in verse 9. And he's referring to the Pharisees. Notice what he says. But in vain, vain is emptiness. Doesn't carry anything with it. But in vain they do worship me. And how did the... Remember, before you read the next line, they thought that this was worship. This is what God wants. I'm pleasing God when I make sure that my fingertips are clean before I eat. And God said, I never told you to do that. Now, this is what they do, though. But in vain they do worship me. And boy, they were a good worshiper if they were, if every part of that hand was clean, right? Oh, man, look at my hands, everybody. Hey, Faith Bible Church, look at my hands. Clean, clean, clean. And everybody says, wow, what a man of God. But in vain they do worship me, teaching. Now get this, this is so important. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay? Look up here. Let's say that right here is the body of doctrine. Let's say over here is the traditions of men. Traditions of men aren't necessarily bad as long as they are recognized as just a man's tradition. We do a lot of things out of tradition, don't we? Certainly we do. And there's nothing wrong with it as long as we keep it in this category right here. This is the tradition of men. But see, what this, the end of this verse is saying is that they were teaching for. What's the word for there? For. For in this case, in this context, means what? In place of. In place of doctrine, what are they putting right here as doctrine? The teachings and traditions of men. They've taken this body of tradition of men, which there's nothing necessarily wrong with it as long as it's regarded as man's tradition, and they've placed it and they've put it in place of doctrine. And so now they're teaching doctrine, not really, but they're teaching doctrine as you need to make sure, just in case you touch something defiled, that you wash your hands in a specific way before you eat. And woe to anybody that would eat without tradition. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so now there is the tradition of the elders. Okay, I wanted you to understand this. So back to Luke 11. So the problem is that of placement. This Pharisee was concerned with externals, traditions, rituals, which the Pharisee placed as worship. And this is how I show God that I'm right before Him. This is how I prove that I am a good worshiper. I'm a good Jew, Pharisee, because I do all of these things. And that is exactly what the Jewish religion was based upon, all the things that they did. What's wrong with that? Does anybody have a verse about that, that God's word itself says is wrong? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. What about Ephesians 2, 8, 9? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And isn't that exactly what the Pharisees were famous for, boasting? Look at me. You can't find cleaner hands in all of Jerusalem. Now, they were looking at the outside. Now, remember, there's nothing wrong with having clean hands. That's not the point. But there is something wrong with taking so meticulous care of clean hands on the outside when the insides are wrong. Now, what does Jesus point out here in Luke chapter 11? Now, remember, we are... Well, we'll get to that here in just a moment. Let me, you know, all of that was background. Number one, the first importance. I want you to see what's listed as first importance. In Luke chapter 11, verses 39 to 40, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." So he's making a distinction. He said, yep, the outside's good, but the inside is not so good. "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" That's a rhetorical question. Of course he did. God made the outside, God made the inside. If you please God with the outside, shouldn't you also please God with the inside? Okay? Back to Matthew chapter... Did I have you in Matthew 23 yet? Go to Matthew 23. I don't know that I have you in Matthew chapter 23, but go to Matthew 23 and keep a finger here. We'll come back to this in just a moment. But look at Matthew chapter 23. This is where I told you on one of the parallels was at. And let's look at verses 25 and 26. This is one of the woes that was stated here. Matthew 23, 25 and 26. Here he says again, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Now notice what he says in verse 26 that Luke doesn't say. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse..." I want you to see first, okay? The first importance. Does God care about the outside? That's not a trick question. Does God care about the outside? Yes, he does. That's for another time. Does God care about the inside? Yes. And in this case, it is the most important because what's on the outside comes from what's on the inside, okay? It's not the otherwise. What is most important is on the inside. So what should we take care of first? The inside. Jesus says very clearly right here, take care of the inside first, and it will also help take care of the outside. Amazing. Amazing. We've got to take care of the inside. Inside first. My sister, many years ago, I don't think she does it anymore. She's too busy with children and animals and stuff right now in Wyoming. But my sister used to have a part-time job of cleaning. She would go to this place. It was out of the country, and she drove up to this place, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was this huge house. Obviously, it was, you know, the people had to have wealth or major debt. But they had this amazing, massive, just huge, I take back the word immaculate, wonderful place that it looked like before she went in. She was hired to go there and clean, and she went into the house. I believe the story goes that these people they left her even when they were out. I think the lady took the children to whatever, and my sister Elizabeth went in and cleaned when she wasn't there. She walked in the door and couldn't believe her eyes. The outside did not match anything of what the inside did. Oh, it was adorned immaculately. It was beautiful and rich and... But she said it was filthy. Filthy mess. I remember her telling stories about she didn't even know, I think she cleaned one time a week for this individual. I said, I don't think that they have done a single dish since the last time I was in here. There's nothing picked up. Everything is a mess. It was horrible. You know, it's important that it's neat that the outside looked nice, but folks, where they lived was on the inside. So much more important that the inside was taken care of. And you know what? Eventually the outside will take care of itself. You know, as homeowners, we ought to care about that. Now, again, this is not a message on how to take care of your home. But the fact of the matter is what's inside is most important. Most important. Cleanse first that which is within. You know, right now in America, people are so concerned with being sanitized. And I'm only talking about a hole. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus never said there was anything wrong with that process. But it's sanitized on the outside. Would you agree? Isn't America concerned right now with being sanitized on the outside? And again, no problem with that. I don't make light of that. But what would happen if America be half concerned, half what they are concerned about the outside? Can you imagine if there were laws and rules from our governor and our president that you ought not leave your house unless you're right with your husband, ladies? Don't leave your house, children, unless you're right with your parents. Can you imagine if there was if the governor set a law like that, or a rule, or a recommendation? Make sure that you don't go anywhere for the next month unless you have things with your brother right. You know, there could be some good rules made that would do a lot of good. Now, I'm not suggesting that our government, put rules like that, but I'm just saying, can you imagine if we got so serious that we say, you know what, this week at Faith Bible Church, we're going to try to do something. I want you to quarantine yourself if you've got sin inside. Because your sin's going to affect somebody else who you're going to touch, who you're going to be with. And by the way, folks, it does. Your bad attitude affects the next bad person that's out there. Your sin that you partake will affect your family. You'll do that. You know, but we wouldn't even think of quarantining ourselves until we got things right. That's the point that Jesus is making here. You know, you care so much about this outside stuff. And okay. But why don't we as Christians, why don't we ever think about, you know what, I've got sin and I ought not partake of the Lord's table until I get it right. I'm wrong before the Lord. I'm wrong before my brothers and sisters. And when I say this, I'm not talking about the negative of the masks and the hand sanitizers, but I'll tell you, this country does not need to get right masks and hand sanitizers. Now, I'm not saying to stay safe it might not be right in certain things, but what I say this, country needs some proactive Christians that decide, you know what? What this country needs is rightness before the Lord. Getting right with what's on the inside. I've got sin. I have been committing this. I've been looking at this. I've not been doing right. And I need to take this serious. You know what? If we knew that somebody tonight was in this building that was exposed to that virus or had that virus, I tell you what, we would all get nervous and we might think, you know, what can I do to get out of here? Because I don't want to catch that. But somehow we flippantly look at people's sin and our own sin and we say, you know what? I'm not gonna mess up anybody else. I can come in here. I'm not gonna destroy anything. Do you see how far off we are? Do you see how little and light we have made of sin? Please don't take me wrong. This has nothing to do about restrictions with COVID-19. Nothing at all. Nothing. Please don't misconstrue this and say, Pastor was making light. I am not making light of it. I'm saying we are making light of something much more important. Jesus, you don't necessarily have to quarantine. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. You know what? There's not a 10-day, 14-day, 20-day quarantine that needs to take place. All it is a prayer before the Lord saying, God, I have sinned before you and I'm wrong. And I need your forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And guess what? The virus is out. Just like that. Just like that. That's amazing. Amazing. The first importance, the first audience. Notice Luke 11:41 says, But rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Why does Jesus bring into Luke 11 alms? Why does he do that? That is an odd thing, giving alms. Well, Jesus gave instructions of alms in another passage. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. We'll see the connection here. The first importance is to be right, okay? I need to make sure to get the inside more than the outside. The outside will take care of itself when the inside's right. the first audience, who ought the audience be? And Jesus addresses it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be saved. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Himself shall reward the people. And that can also get us in trouble. Paul, to live in worship with externals, you're trying to worship me with being seen. And we know that we're not to be doing things to be seen of men. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Why do we do what we do? To be seen of man? Like the Pharisee? Look what I'm doing. No, we do it because it pleases the Lord. We do it simply because it pleases the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts. You see, it was a big outward show. Listen to this. All of this cleaning was a big outward show. What did it really do? Do you know? A lot of what's going on today is a lot of outward show, but I'll tell you more than that outward show. There's a lot of outward show right here. We could look at what somebody else says that you ought to do, and we could say, you know, that's just for show. You don't really need to do that. And I'm not arguing that tonight. But I am arguing there's a lot of us that's just show. We're trying to look so clean. We're trying to act so sanitized. We're trying to act so this. As Christians, mind you. I'm not talking about hands and everything else. As Christians, we try to look like we're so clean. And inside, what did Jesus say about these people? Inside is filled with dead men's bones. Oh, you take the Dawn liquid dish detergent and you clean it all up until it's squeaky clean. But yet you look inside and it's nasty. It's ugly. Nobody would want to ever drink of that. Just a big show. You know, God is not looking for a show. He wants reality. And I believe that was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? Remember in Acts chapter, was it? It's either 4 or 5, when chapter 5, that the Christians were sharing everything that they have, and they were rising to the occasion when the church was meeting the needs of the church. They weren't required to do it. They did it because it was in their heart. And that's a key. They did it because it was in their heart. And Ananias and Sapphira watched as everybody was doing it, and they said, we got to do something too. Let's take advantage of this situation. Let's do something for ourselves. We'll keep back part of it, and we'll do it, and everybody will see all that we're doing. That was the sin. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They labeled something bad with something good. That's what it means. And I don't have time to get into it. Maybe sometime we will. But do you ever wonder what it means that they lied against the Holy Ghost? It's to attribute God's work with something that's not God's work. Wrong motives. And that's what they did. Everybody thought that they were doing something good, but they were actually trying to do something not so good. And they attributed, that was a lie, that was against God. And that's why they were killed. And boy, we could preach a message on that, but I'm not going to tonight. God is not looking for show. We need to be careful, Christians, that we're not about show. And lastly, the first action, I don't have much to say about this one. Matthew 23:26. Again, I know we've looked at Luke, we looked at Matthew. Matthew 23:26 gives us insight with this one. The first action, what do? Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup, that the outside of them may be clean also. What Jesus was saying, you need to take care of it. We have to have that, make sure what we understand is most important, the first importance. We need to make sure we have the right first audience, and that's God. We care about God, not people, first. Thirdly, the first action, and that is to get it right. Take care of it. And as David did in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is the action that God wants us to do right away. Take care of it. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we close tonight, I ask you this question, first of all. If you're in here in the building tonight, my question is this first. Have you ever recognized that you as a person on the inside are dirty? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner in this room tonight. Every one. And the wages of that sin is death. We deserve to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Nothing more. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask you, have you ever been cleaned with the blood of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, it's not by works of righteousness which you do. It's not going to church. It's not raising a good family. It's not putting money in the offering plate. It's not being a good Christian. It's trusting Jesus for what He's done on the cross. Have you ever done that? I'll tell you, that's the first and the only way really to be clean on the inside. Jesus has to do it. If you're here in the room tonight and you've never done that, my friend, I want to tell you, you need to do that. That is the most important cleansing that can ever take place. You need the cleansing blood of Jesus. You say, what do I have to do, preacher? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart. Do you trust what Jesus did on the cross was good enough for you? It's recognizing that you can't do it, but He can do it, and He did do it. And accepting that for yourself. If you've never partaken of that, I trust that you would. Let's say that you have, though. Are you concerned more about the outside show or the inside reality? Jesus here, He brings up this, we didn't even get into it, but you notice, you know, He attacked something, you know, like the almsgiving then. You know, it really didn't matter what He did. The point that Jesus was making is He said, you care so much more about clean hands and you've got problems with many other things going on in your life. Sin issues. You're not even doing alms the right way. You're trying to pretend like you're somebody. He could have used any number of sins. The point is this. We need to make sure that the insides are taken care of. As a Christian, we need to continually clean ourselves. Let the Lord clean ourselves. Making sure that we're able to be used of the Lord. The Lord likes to use clean cups, clean vessels for His service. Father, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts. So many times we care more about our outside. So many times we care more about cleaning the outside and sanitizing that way. So many times we care more about what other people see from us. And if we can throw on some clean clothes and spray ourselves with some cologne or perfume, that everybody's going to think that we're okay. And yet inside we're rotting away. Lord, I pray that we would look on the inside and take care of those issues first, and the outside will take care of itself. Lord, thank You for the lessons that the Lord Jesus is teaching us tonight through Your Word. God, help us. God, help us tonight to confess some sin and get things right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it was so devastating and so dreadful, saying things to me that I thought would just... That's all I need to say. Because I could get bitter just in a heartbeat thinking about it. But in the next couple days after that person said such hurtful things to me, I remember the very spot that me and my wife drove down that road when my wife looked at me and said, Sean, but do you think that maybe God has something in it for you for good? And that smote me to the heart. But it was a good smiting. Because I need to stop and think, you know what? Maybe what they did was wrong, but for me it was good. And it wasn't so much that I needed to listen to everything that individual said and do those things, no. But it was something for me that I said, you know what? God works all things together for good. God has something for me in this to teach me a lesson. That's what we need to do. You know what? When somebody hurts you, God's perspective is, praise the Lord, God, you're helping me to... I remember another ministry, a previous ministry where a pastor, I had tried to do something and be a blessing, and all that was critical words, and it wasn't in this church. The pastor said something to me that was very critical, and it hurt. It hurt. But I thank the Lord because you benefit from the very thing that that pastor told me. It was something that I needed so that I could be the pastor that I am today. It wasn't right what he said. I don't think that it was right in the spirit. It just seemed like it was not right. But I'll tell you what, for me, it was right. Can you understand something? When somebody hurts you, for them it might be wrong, but you don't need to worry about them. God's taking care of them. For you, it's right. Do you get that? Do you get that? Do you get it? It's right for you. It's part of God's plan. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He's making you into the individual. And without it, you would never have been. If those brothers wouldn't have did all that garbage to Joseph, there never would have been a big saving in the end. Now, that's a twisted way to look at things, but that's God's way to look at it. Brothers and sisters, we need to start looking at it through God's perspective. Joseph viewed the situation through God's perspective, and so do you. You need to stop and think about what that person said to you, what that did, or what God did to you, or he gave you that disease, or he did this. And you need to stop and say, you know what? But God must be doing something good in my life. He's up to something good. Always. 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 And the third and last point is we need to forgive those that hurt you as Christ has forgiven you. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what he's saying? Jesus has forgiven you. God's forgiven you. How dare you not be willing to forgive them? You have no right not to forgive them when you've been forgiven by your master. And you recognize, you probably remember the parable in Matthew chapter 18. We have three individuals. We have the master. We have the servant. And then we have that servant's servant. This servant goes to the master. He owed him a great debt. Matthew 18. I think it's Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. This servant owed this master a great sum of money. Great sum of money. And he goes to that master and says, Master, I could never repay you. Would you forgive me of my debt? And that master, in his goodness and graciousness, forgives that servant of every one of his debts. And he goes out and he's excited. Yet that servant had a servant underneath him that owed him some money. And that low servant went to that servant that had been forgiven his debt to his master and said, Master, would you forgive me my debt? And this servant who had just been forgiven his debt looked at that one below him and said, No, you worked, you died to pay me. That first master finds out that that servant that he forgave didn't forgive the one under him. And he said, You abominable servant. How dare you, when I forgive you, not be willing to forgive other people? What's the lesson? How dare I not forgive somebody else when I have been forgiven by God Almighty? How dare you, abominable servant. And that is God's attitude. How dare you? Don't you dare. Friends, I'm not saying this. God is saying it. Don't you dare be bitter at anybody and hold them accountable for what they've done to you. You forgive that person right now because I have forgiven you.
None of us deserve it. Not one of us deserve any forgiveness. The world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. If we refuse to forgive others, then we are only imprisoning ourselves and causing our own torment. Some of the most miserable people I have met in ministry, this is this commentator, have been people who would not forgive others. They lived only to imagine ways to punish these people who have wronged them, but they were really only punishing themselves. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives is prior, has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there in the coldness, clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands. The former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Now, brothers and sisters, as we close, I'm not telling you get warm, fuzzy feelings when you do that, like she experienced. Emotion is emotion. Whether you get the emotion or not is not the point. You do it because of truth. You do it because it brings God glory and it's the right thing to do. But I'll tell you, sometimes when we reach out and we do the hard thing, what God wants us to do, sometimes He supplies emotion as well. And God helps. Did you catch the play on words, the former prisoner? The former prisoner. We're the ones in prison if we've got bitterness. But there's freedom when we can forgive. I ask you this morning, you've been hurt. You've been hurt. And it hurts. But don't get into the cycle of hurting, circular hurting. Let's break it this morning with forgiveness. Recognizing His unconditional love. Recognizing His purpose and plan. Recognizing that He's forgiven me. And I ought to forgive others. Let yourself out of prison this morning. Let yourself out. It will be freeing to your soul. Father, would you help us? Would you help us? So many of us find ourselves bound up in this wicked sin, and it hurts so bad, and it seems so impossible to get rid of. It does. It seems like we can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. And yet we can, because you've never asked us to do anything that we couldn't do. And you've provided the strength for it. If Jesus can do it, I can do it. And He did do it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, if that would be our prayer, our saying to those that have hurt us. God, would you help us this morning to get true forgiveness and to give true forgiveness? Would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.